Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
Welcome to Black Man Can't Jump on Patreon.
Patreon City.
I don't do lines at the top of Patreon, but this is a good movie. For lines, oh. I mean.
This was a good movie for lines.
Okay.
But I don't do them so I'm not going to do them.
Right. I mean, but you say that a lot, and then sometimes you do it, but are you...
Sometimes I do, yeah, but...
You're not doing it.
But no, I'm not going to do it.
All right. Well, I guess that's the end of that bit.
It was...
Should we attend the burial?
Okay.
Bit's dead, so...
I mean, I get it.
I wasn't doing a bit, so it maybe wasn't even alive, you know? Wasn't even alive.
Wow, this has gotten depressing.
We should have, yeah. It deserves the. Okay, you know what? I actually don't do segues for.
But you just did.
Either,
so. You just did.
No, but you know what?
You
Let's
can't
retire
take it back.
Now. We should have. It's time for the burial of my segue bit. That is not the movie, which we'll do in a sec.
Wow.
You know, it was great. It was like I feel like it happened somewhat, you know, organically. And then, I don't know, it caught fire. T-shirts were made. People have, you know, really loved it throughout the years. And some people hated it. And I think that was always the push and pull that kind of kept drawing me back to it. I know some people might ask, well, how long do you think about these segues before?
What are you talking about? What is happening? What is happening?
Wait, are we not... Oh, sorry. I was just doing. There was just a because we.
Man,
we have the burial.
Scott, start the show.
Are you?
No.
Well,
no.
He's just giving it a memorial speech.
Yeah, the eulogy.
No, we don't even do that.
Yeah,
you confuse me.
Eulogy.
We're supposed to start. We just start.
Okay. Right. Well, before we start,
I
mean,
that's what I was trying to say.
No, there's no before we start. We got to start.
Okay.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan,
what more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Black actors, man.
Okay, well, the Academy Awards just happened.
We can do this one.
And I do think people want to hear our quick reactions to you know, what transpired. And I mean, the first thing we got to talk about, Michael B. Jordan.
Yep. Yo.
B. Jordan.
To have joy for a person you have never met. Like for
real.
I have never met this man.
Never met him.
Like, I mean, I guess I know his family, which is even weirder. But it's like...
You can't just casually say, I guess I know his family.
Yeah,
well,
you also said that while talking away from the microphone.
I'm casual enough with them that I can be like, congrats to the family. You know,
we need details. How do you casually know Michael B. Jordan's family?
Bro, it is in 2020. I got hired to produce a YouTube special when everyone cared about black people. Very wonderful special. It was produced by...
The special was called When Everyone Cared About Black People, or you're just highlighting that 2020 was a period of time when everyone...
It was called... I think it was called...
That's such a good name for a doc, When Everyone Cared About Black People. And it's just...
Just 2020.
It's just a couple weeks after...
Just 2020.
George Floyd was...
It was called Bear Witness, Take Action, and it was produced by like Spring Hill and James, we've talked about him before. Why am I forgetting his name? He did House Party. He's a
Reggie Hudlin,
and Reggie Hudlin produced it.
Oh, I remember when you did this, and you met Michael B. Jordan's family?
Because basically I got partnered. I was the one in charge of, they gave, they gave a bunch of social media people like a bunch of money, like 30 to 50 grand to do like a short or something. You know, inspired by what was happening. And Spring Hill was in charge. And I was the producer in charge of like talking to them. And there was one woman I spoke to for months. I'm talking about like, I spoke to this woman while grocery shopping the day before Thanksgiving. And I don't know, the project ended and we had already followed each other on Instagram, but I don't look at people's pages. Like I just don't.
Right. You and, just follow. And yeah. Then if it pops up, it pops up. Yeah.
And then one day, cause I always knew she had a hyphenated name. And then one day I'm on IG and I see like Michael B. Jordan is the ambassador of Coach, or he was. And I see like, you know, his sister, the wonderful Jamila Jordan on there. And I was like, what the fuck is she doing with like Michael B. Jordan? Like, that's crazy. And then I'm looking at the name like, Jamila Jordan, Michael B. And I see her brother, and I see the brother Khalid who works at Macro. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And it's just a bunch of family photos. Bro, it was like, but I'll tell you this, seeing so many people like all over just go nuts for Michael B. Even, I think I texted Brady this. I was like, watching him win, it was like watching like a legit fan favorite, like in just in the auditorium, like so much so that when he walked on that stage, you saw my man look around and go, oh shit. Like it was beautiful, yeah. Bro. Beautiful, beautiful.
I've been on a whirlwind this past weekend. And so I have not been able to like sit down and watch anything yet, but I've seen like a handful of clips and things. And like, I'm like excited. Like y'all know me. I never even want to watch the Oscars. I want to like go back and just watch the whole ceremony and be a part of the anticipation and just wait, watch the whole thing and see it as if it happened in real time. I'm thrilled to see everybody see Ryan win for what you call it,
screenplay,
best screenplay,
and yeah.
I mean, you know, he got it.
They
did it. I mean, they did it. We knew they was going to do it
again. We said it. We called it.
Do it. It's like
we called it. We called it.
They do that to black directors, and it's like, what? Yes, he has an Oscar. It's a wonderful script. He has an Oscar. I am not taking away from him. I'm just like, fuck, man. This dude has went on a run.
Well,
that white people don't go on. Like, legitimately, through every movie he has made.
It's wild.
Has been more and more successful. And then he did his own original movie.
It is crazy.
And the thing is, yeah. Bray, my last thing, well, Bray, okay. I swear to God.
What's your last thing? Go ahead.
The last thing, we talked about this before. They keep calling this fucking movie a blockbuster when one battle another had double the budget.
Right.
But blockbuster, is blockbuster about budget or is it about?
I think people think blockbuster in terms of.
Because it's successful. He made a good movie that people like.
Well, also, I think it's also like, again, I don't know how one battle after another has the budget that it does. But in terms of spectacle, I would say Sinners has a feels like a bigger spectacle. Though, to be fair, one battle after another is clearly an action film. Just because PTA directed it doesn't make it any less so. It's also maybe the time of year that it came out, October versus April. But you're right. You are right. They're both blockbusters. One just was more financially successful than the other one. I will say, I do think, you know, there are a lot of reasons why one battle after another won over Sinners, just in terms of how the Academy generally votes, and not the least of which is definitely Paul Thomas Anderson having been nominated a handful of times before and not winning before. And this is Ryan Coogler's first nomination, though arguably it should be at least the second one. But
minimum,
you know, and with the idea being, the problem, of course, is that people could have said the same thing about Spike Lee, like early on with like Do the Right Thing, but then guess what? They never gave Spike Lee an Oscar, right? So there's a little bit of that where you're like, okay, you're like, well, this is Ryan Coogler's first nomination. Like he'll win eventually. And it's like, well, there's no guarantee that that will ever happen.
Right.
So who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the one difference, even just thinking about like Spike versus a Ryan Coogler, is the kinds of movies that the two make, and like that I feel like the splashiness of Ryan's is going to continue in a way that maybe he'll get more nominations, you know, maybe.
I mean, it's interesting because Spike Lee was doing the movies that was generally doing movies that like typically were getting kind were, like should have gotten Academy Award nominations, whereas Ryan Coogler's more pop.
No, like, sure.
Films that are more, you know.
Sure. I'm like thinking within the context of like the timing. Right. And then, yeah, the timing in which those movies were coming out, and then the trend, the Academy trends that are shifting slightly. You know what I mean? Like,
and,
it's like,
yeah, and there is a shift. There is a shift
that maybe and only maybe he'll get nominated again.
I mean, I think that's I agree. I do think I think what sucks about how the Academy works is these freaking we owe you one. Like, Paul Thomas Anderson should have had an Oscar two movies ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Boogie Nights, so what, he was 20-something. Give it to him for fucking Boogie Nights. Like, that was the best movie that year. It's like, and I feel like we keep doing this thing where, like, because we owe somebody, not we, because they owe somebody something, they end up screwing somebody else over. I look at Ryan Coogler and what he's done in 13 years. 13 years. This man has accomplished something that, like, directors dream of, bro. No, whether it's black, no, whether it's white, no, whether it's Asian, like, period. And I'm looking at this movie, and I don't think this is a perfect movie, but I do think this movie on paper has less questions than One Battle After Another. So much so that if you're one of those people who are very weirdy and you watch the interviews when people win the post-award wins, the fact that P.T. Anderson can't talk about or feels uncomfortable talking about the politics behind this movie, the politics this movie represents, the Teyana Taylor of it all. Like, the fact that he can't talk about that because it's what? A hot button topic? Then you shouldn't have fucking made the movie. Whereas you look at Ryan Coogler, this man not only made a movie that is black, that played internationally. Like, that's the thing they say we don't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did the thing. He did the thing when a literal review came out from one of the biggest organizations, low-key trashing the movie, and it still was successful. What else can you do, bro? Like, I think that's the thing that's so hard. We're about to go into 100 years of the Oscars. A black person ain't win Best Director yet. Like,
no.
Just hasn't. John Singleton was 26 when Boys in the Hood came out? 26. He lost. He didn't achieve a movie that is literally.
And then he never got nominated again, right?
Bray. Literally, I'm looking,
we're checks,
looking at
though.
We're he looking at movies that checks. Made it into the film reserve. Okay. I'm being dead ass. And this is not the shit on because I do like P.T. Anderson. But out of these two movies,
you know, only one movie.
Which one do you think is going to go into the reserve?
I honestly think
get a man probably. The best director, baby. You think both will? I don't think both will. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say too. It does feel like a thing where
I guess white people do love it.
Do they not put how many? Yeah, but I love it too.
You're right.
I
like it.
you're mad at a very specific thing, which is fair.
If you were to tell me,
not even about the movie, it's the principle.
Because I just don't know what else you can do. You know what I'm saying? Like at this point, I'm like, what else can you do?
The hope is that he does another thing.
I also think the reality, Ryan Coogler's reality is like he'll get the Oscar for something where, and everyone will be like, but this other thing though, you know,
he's going to be like 50, 60 something.
He'll get the IOU one. You know? And like, you know, I don't to be fair is a silly turn of phrase when talking about Academy voters. However, it's the only one I can pull when I think about some of the trends. How long it took Martin Scorsese to win a Best Director? How long it even Steven Hitchcock. Spielberg and like I just like the reality is like the best and the this is true of the Academy outside of race, but it is compounded because they so rarely ever, there was like 70 years of the, probably 70, right? Or we'll say 65, 68 years of the Oscars where they would never have even thought of like a black director. Like that's not even a question. We're 100% not doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the vast majority of the time, and then when they finally were like, maybe, it's like, but we're also going to hold you to the same, if not, actually, let's just the reality is higher standards than white directors, because you have to do a film that speaks to white people through a black lens, because we won't let you direct our films. You have to direct a film that's about your culture and your race, but still somehow speaks to white people as well as being authentic to yourself.
And we can't be the bad guy. We can't be the bad guy, I'll tell you that.
Right. And it's you could have bad black people in your movie, but you have to have a good black hero protagonist that isn't that complicated, and a white and some, you know, some sense of whiteness as well. Anyway, it's tough.
I mean, it's one of those things, and I think about it like this year there was no black woman nominated for best actress.
Yes, that's true.
I
and then we didn't get the, and here's the thing I will say that I find disappointing, and this is controversial, I guess, but I don't care. I think all of the blowback on Tiana Taylor's character that's come, like, made it so that people were like, oh, I guess we're not voting for her for best supporting actress. I think that performance was incredible, and I hate that it's been so tainted by people's disdain for that character, which is a worthy conversation, but I think it sucks that, like, usually when that kind of, when somebody like comes out blazing hot and then they take this dive, it's because like something else has been happening, like you know, like with Emilia Perez, it was like some, like that woman wound up, you know, they found all this racist tweets or whatever and all that stuff. Or like even with Timothy, like it's like people are like, I don't know about this guy, like that. But like it felt like with Tiana, it was just like the conversation about the movie and like PTA, you know, but like it was like this like friendly fire hit that the movie took. And nothing against Amy Madigan, she's great too, and Weapons is fun, and I loved her performance. And there were other performances, like I think there are a lot of performances that were worthy of an Oscar or whatever. But like it kind of was like, oh, the Academy historically has said, whatever, we're rarely ever giving a best actress to a woman who is not white. So we'll give you guys your supporting actress. And while that is obviously sucky, it does help people's careers. But now Tiana Taylor doesn't get that benefit because it was like this thing that happened. Well,
yeah,
anyway.
And I think about that too. And I think you're right. I think that conversation is really important. And also, it's like, it ain't her fault that she had.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not her fault.
Like she had, like, again, like, what made me so, like, so angry is that when this reporter asked Paul about, you know, the conversation and dialogue around that character.
When this was after the Oscars.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, when they do their, like, whatever, he just got his plate on it or whatever. And he goes, well, Tiana's been talking about this a lot. And I'm like, for that to be like one of the first words, I'm like, you just put the earnest back on her again. It's like, she didn't write it. Like, this is a woman who wanted a good part and is a part with freaking Leo. It's like, why you keep putting earnest?
Yeah. It's this weird thing that we've been so culturally trained to be like, if you're not a part of this like identity group, then you're not allowed to talk about this thing. And then, so when somebody gets asked a question, they're like, well, am I allowed to talk about this or not? Yeah. I don't understand.
Well, it's hard because you wrote it. Like you, it's yours. Like you,
I know. I'm sure as publicists, well,
you gotta speak to your process. You gotta be able to speak. You can't remove yourself from it because it is you. Without you, there is no this.
It's none of it. It's such a weird thing. And like, I, even thinking about Autumn winning as the first female and woman of color cinematographer, I look at that award and I go, this woman had to be perfect. Like, she had to give the perfect speech. You know what I'm saying? There's such this pressure, I think, on people of color. And I look at her and I mean, cinematography, of course, clearly was beautiful. But I think about her speech. And even in that speech was inclusive of everybody. You know what I'm saying? It was inclusive of like all women. But all women. Like, yeah. Like the fact that it wasn't just like a person of color, not the fact that it was just a woman. I mean, even the shot, bro, is I remember I was like, where's the shot of Ryan? And then they cut back and he's running down with her kid. I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. That man deserved the best director. I'm sorry. I will never let it go. I will say it. Even when he does finally win one, I'm going to be like, he deserved it for this fucking movie. That's
sure. Which, you know, hey, that puts you up there with so many other people.
Also, yeah. one last thing, which is crazy. And guys, we all know I'm a K-pop Demon Hunter stan. I am. Is Golden my favorite song? Not even close. But what's so interesting that it's not... It's so many other
of the songs
of
on
the songs.
K-pop.
So many.
I see.
Sorry. So many other songs. So many other songs.
It was such a.
Sorry, but I didn't recognize, and I had a lot of friends being like, "Oh, it shouldn't win. It shouldn't win." And I'm like, "But it's the most popular song," and they're like, "That's not a song. It's just like a hook and like a verse." And I didn't realize until seeing the Sinners' performance and then seeing the K-pop Demon Hunters' performance how that song doesn't exist. Like. Golden is a minute and a half. Like, that's not a song. I was like, that's...
It's pretty short. I mean, it's also, like, split into two parts, that song, right? In the movie.
Yeah.
It's like... Yeah. It's kind of like... it comes back at the end. It's memorable, though.
Yeah, I just was like, man... And also, I felt like the Sinners performance, it felt like they were doing too much movement. I didn't get to see Misty. I was like, I felt like, why is the camera moving so... Who directed this?
Oh,
the direction,
man,
the audio. No, but seriously, it was like at certain points, it was just really bad. Like, I know it's hard, but like, that's your job.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, the angles were really bad. Like, there were cutaways where you could tell Conan was like, what the fuck? Like, literally at one point, he made a comment on
Conan's confused by the cutaway.
Yeah, like, he had two cutaways. He was like, I don't know, man.
Well, one of them was they cut to him because they wanted him to move on, and they cut somebody's speech short, and they literally shut down the lights and started lowering the mic, and he wouldn't look at the camera and he was looking forward, but then he started laughing, and then he was like, I have to address the fact that I'm laughing, but but the camera step kept on him. It was so awkward. And then finally he still didn't really do anything. He just waited and kept looking back over. And then they finally moved back to the people who were there who didn't move away. They turned the lights back on and they opened their mics so they could finish their speech. And
okay,
they came
wait,
back
but
Conan.
was that Conan's idea? Like, did the show start and did Conan say, we're not cutting anybody off? Is that what happened? Or where did the not cutting anybody off thing come from?
You could just tell he tried to have like a positive, like did he even addressed it? Like, what did he say? He wanted to have like a positive, like.
Yeah, he didn't say there weren't any rules. And I think he was like, you know what? I am going to go with this crowd. And if the crowd feels like what they're doing is not cool, then I'm going to be like, it's not cool. And the crowd was like, don't you cut off these people's bikes. And so he was like, great. Yeah, I'll be with y'all. And I will say, there is a part of me that's like, yes, the show itself is really long, and it's like people want to stop watching, but also like, what else are people watching? And it started at 7 o'clock Eastern, freaking 4 o'clock Pacific time. Like, we can all watch an extra 30 minutes. Like,
yeah,
fine. Agree. It's fine. And did I like zone out at times, or I left the party that I was at and came back home because I was tired of standing?
Yeah, it's so funny. I wanted to come, and I was like, man, I feel like that's going to be a lot of people.
It was. I was like, so many people.
I saw like 90 something. I was like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was too many. Yeah, the Bachelor special they played after, Skylar just mentioned it, was so weird. It was so weird. Anyway, that's not why any of you can, actually, it's probably the only reason you're listening.
I know, that's why we're real.
But we do have a movie to review today. Listen, we are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about the context and through the context of race and diversity in Hollywood, which is why we had to talk about Michael B. Jordan's win. He's only number 6, which still is like when he was listing people, I was like, oh, that was all he could remember. And then I was like, wait, no, that's all there is. I literally, there was also a moment where
remember.
Bro, that's so funny. Dude, I for real, like when he was like Halle Berry, and then I was like, how come he only mentioned Halle Berry? And then I was like, oh, right, because she's the only woman who's won.
Bro.
Best actress. I was like, I can't believe that this is reality. It still doesn't feel real that my brain was like,
it feels real to me.
He was like, here's the giant shoulders I stood on. I was like, dude, you stood on a lot more than that. And then I was like, oh no, he's just listing the people who've won best actor or best actress. That's all of them.
That's 7.
That's it.
Oh, 6. Yeah, you're right. It was only 6. Because Hattie was best supporting, right?
Best supporting. Mm-hmm. Exactly. There is plenty more, best supporting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best supporting. Best actor, that's it. That's all we got. And that's what this podcast is about. Leading roles. Best actor, not supporting.